KKT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect.
Good afternoon. Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon, and we have a really special guest on the phone with us. I'd like to take a minute to introduce him. He is an author, a speaker, founder of Hope Generation Media, and he's going to be in the pulpit at Calvary of Albuquerque four times this weekend, and then he's going to be a special speaker on Sunday from 4 o'clock to 8 for the Sojourn event for high school and college-age students. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Corson joining us today on the phone. Ben, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, I'm so excited. We're going to have a lot of fun over the next hour.
Ben, I have to say, the first thing you're going to have to do when you get here is to go over to the Sopo coffee shop and have some caffeine, because your schedule is like none I've ever seen.
Well, the funny thing is we just got done shooting 12 different short films over the past 2.5 days. So it's going to be just a fun, like, go from one thing to the next. But I kind of like the Paul vibe of just having itchy feet, going from one event to the next and just having a blast doing it.
Well, I want to mention a couple things about some ministry materials and things that you've put out. Your book, Optimisfits, Igniting a Fierce Rebellion Against Hopelessness. It's become a bestseller. Congratulations on that. And you're getting some great reviews. Now, I did want to ask you a couple questions about the book this afternoon. In Amazon, it's categorized under the category of depression. So I know that it's something that will lead someone out of that kind of state. But it is unusual to find a Christian book kind of categorized by the world, if you will, in that area. So you must be helping a lot of people with your book.
Well, what I'm really passionate about is people seeing that just because you struggle with depression doesn't make you any less godly. So, like, if you look at Elijah, who was the greatest of the prophets, so great, in fact, that he was flanking Jesus with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses represented the law, Elijah represented the prophets, and Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. So you see them all three on Mount Hermon in the book of Matthew. Elijah himself was so depressed that he asked God to take his life because he was no better than his fathers. Or you look at Jonah, who led the greatest spiritual awakening in Old Testament history, and he wanted God to kill him when his plant died. Job himself was the godliest man of the East, and he asked the Lord, you know, to take his life too, because he said, I wish I was a stillborn. I abhor myself. And David struggled with depression. And in Psalm 42, the author of the sacred text said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. So I really think it's important to destigmatize the taboo of depression and show people that just because you struggle with the preacher's fainting fits, as Spurgeon would say, doesn't make you any less spiritual.
Jim Williams on the phone with Ben Corson, author of Optimisfits and founder of Hope Generation Media, guest speaker this weekend at Calvary of Albuquerque 4 to 8 for the Sojourn event, and he will also be in the pulpit here at Calvary of Albuquerque for all four services. Ben, I've often said that I don't trust Christians who have not been injured. And my friend, just reading bio and going through Optimisfits a little bit, I know you faced some terrible tragedy in your life. Tell us how that has motivated this ministry that you come to us with.
Yeah, I believe people are impressed by our accomplishments, but they connect with our weaknesses. And Jesus didn't just say, hear my words. He said, touch my wounds. And I think the scars that we become lighthouses for other people who are headed towards the same rocks we hit. And so I want to use sort of my pain as a platform to guide people to safe havens and to show people, you know, that the truth of the matter is none of us are immune to going through great tragedy. But even though in the world we will have tribulation, we can be of good cheer because the Lord has overcome the world. So in my case, I went through 10 years of chronic depression where I was suicidal. And my brother went to heaven a few months ago, and my sister also went to heaven in a car accident. And my dad's first wife died in a car accident. And a few years ago, I went through a romantic heartbreak that made me feel like I'd never be happy again. And we go through stuff. But what I like to tell people is that if God could heal my broken heart, then he can heal anybody's broken heart. Because I thought I would never find joy again. And yet God gave me strength. He gave me hope. And he gave me an impossible sense that everything's going to be okay in the end. So if it's not okay, it's not the end. And it's okay if we're not okay. It's just not okay if we stay that way. So even though hope might seem impossible, we serve the Lord, who is king of doing the things that seem the most unreasonable. And for him, he just is looking for a mustard seed of our faith to pulverize mountains.
Well, before we start talking about Sojourn, which is targeted really to high school age, maybe 15-year-olds, all the way through college age, 24, graduate students, and that whole event is geared around trying to encourage young people to prepare for the onslaught of humanism and post-secularism and everything that they're going to face when they go to college. But before we talk about that, which we'll do here in a couple more minutes in our segments together, I want to talk about you're going to be in the pulpit and the things that you just relayed to you. You lost your sister and your brother, and just I those are unbelievable tragedies. And yet you're hopeful and encouraged, and you know they're with the Lord, and there's all so much positive about you. Who are the people you want to reach in the pulpit this weekend here in Albuquerque?
Yeah, I want to reach people who are hurting, who feel like hope is not their inheritance. People who feel like tomorrow's going to be no different than today. People who feel like their life has been subsumed by an infinite fray. And I want to give people an infusion of hope and to show them that the situations that are most painful in our lives, God can convert into pain fuel that drives us onto our destiny, because pain either has the power to break us or it is the power that makes us unbreakable. What it is depends on who our God just so happens to be. So I want to encourage people this weekend not to react to their suffering, but to respond to their hardship. And then their pain will make them stronger, their tears will make them braver, their heartbreak will make them wiser, and then one day they'll thank their past for a better future.
Outstanding. So if you're listening right now and you know somebody that needs some encouragement in their life, we hope that you will invite them to one of the services here at Calvary Chapel, of course, Saturday night, and then three services Sunday. Ben will be in the pulpit. And this is going to be a special time for them to hear a message that God is going to direct at them through Ben. And he is a person that has experienced just unbelievable tragedy. He's a very young man, and yet God has a lot more to do with him. So we're so glad, Ben, for you to be here. Talk to us a little bit about Sojourn and the target audience there of young people, say 15 to 24.
Yeah, I mean, I think at 15 to 24 years old, you're at a seminal time in your life where the path bifurcates and you're trying to figure out what to do with your life. So I want to give people a roadmap in regards to how to think and the perspective to have when it comes to navigating and negotiating their future. So there's this verse I really love in Colossians 3:15 where it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." And the word "rule" in Greek literally means umpire. So you can actually know what decision you're supposed to make based on the peace of God acting as an umpire for your heart. So if a decision is a wrong one, you won't have peace and the umpire calling you out on the carpet. But if you do have peace, the umpire saying it's safe to make this choice. And so research tells us that the young people 15 to 24 years old at this season to make sure they're pursuing peace, as 1 Peter in Psalm 34 says, to pursue peace and to follow this umpire, the peace of God, into the future.
Ben Corson on the phone with us here at ABQ Connect. We're going to have a word right now from a few of our sponsors. We'll be back with Ben after these messages.
Don't sweat through another summer with inefficient windows and doors. With Pella Windows and Doors from DreamStyle, your home will be more comfortable and beautiful, and they'll help you save money on your energy bills. In the month of June only, save $229 per window and $629 per patio door. And pay nothing for 12 months with our special financing, or payments as low as $99 per month. Poor quality windows with leaky seals and poor energy efficiency let in the sun's rays and hot air, making your home hot and driving up your energy costs. DreamStyle offers Pella's durable fiberglass impervia windows that meet or exceed Energy Star guidelines in all 50 states. Save $229 per window and $629 per patio door, and pay nothing for 12 months with our special financing, or payments as low as $99 per month. Don't suffer in the heat. Call DreamStyle Remodeling featuring Pella at 373-0201 or visit DreamStyleWindows.com. That's 373-0201.
Constant Physical Medicine Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. You are listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. If you're a young person thinking about going to college after high school, or you're a college student facing challenges with the change, don't miss Sojourn this weekend, preparing students for the journey. This free event is happening at Calvary Church, Albuquerque, June 30th. That's Sunday from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. This event features guest speakers Ben Corson and Dominic Dunn. Don't miss out on the food trucks, DJ, tons of fun. High school and college age students, welcome. And we are on the phone with one of our guest speakers, Ben Corson. But he's not going to just be at Sojourn. He's also going to be in the pulpit of Calvary of Albuquerque for all four services. That is going to be quite a weekend for us, Ben.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You're, as the Navy SEAL say, anything worth doing is worth overdoing. So if we're gonna do it this weekend, we might as well do five services.
Well, it's amazing, and I'm very hopeful and very prayerful that folks that are listening to the show that just wanted to relax and have this maybe as background are actually hearing your words and the optimism and the hope that you bring in your message, because I know a lot of us have friends and loved ones that have gone through tough times. We want some way to encourage them in the Word, and what you're going to be bringing to all the events, the pulpit, the Sojourn event, it's all going to be very encouraging.
Yeah. And I, you know, the Bible says in Romans 15:4 that the Scriptures are written to give us hope. So out of the 1,189 chapters in the Bible, 66 books written by 40 different authors, the most prolific author of the New Testament in regards to how the chronology of how many books he wrote, Paul the Apostle, literally says the teleologic, like hermeneutic, purport and purpose as in regards to why the Bible was written was to give us hope. So I always like to tell people, if you walk away from a Bible study with less hope rather than more hope, it's a giant exercise in missing the point, because the message is not blues, it's good news.
Well, I watched your video on your website, Hope Through Heartbreak, and that's just part of the Hope Generation Media. Tell our listeners how they can be in contact with your ministry and take advantage of the resources that you have out there.
Yeah, so our main source of media right now is our TV show. It's called Hope Generation, and it airs on 12 different television networks in 180 countries. And one of those networks is the Hillsong Channel. So you can watch us several times a week on the Hillsong Channel and other networks. And then also our radio show airs nationally. That's called Hope Generation 2, and it airs daily. And then we have a podcast called Hope Generation, and our YouTube channel, and our social media as well. But you can find all of this just by literally Googling Hope Generation, or just going to my website at bencorson.com, and you'll find it all there.
Fantastic. Make it simple, and people will jump on it. I know, you know, I'm one of those old guys. I don't know how to use Twitter and some of the other. I still was calling Facebook Faceplant up until about a year ago. So I am one of those guys that am technically challenged when it comes to some of these things. I'm an old school radio and television broadcaster, and I know I've got to change because everything is just amazing, the fast pace and the things that you can access from handheld devices and everything. So great job on bringing all of that to young people out there. Dominic Dunn visited with us a couple days ago, and I know you guys know each other well. How did you guys get associated? Was it up in Oregon where the churches are that you're associated with?
Yeah, believe it or not, me and Dominic grew up going to the same church together. So when I was a little kid, he was really good buddies with my brother. And so I remember watching Dominic and looking up to him as I was growing up. And he went to Vanuatu with my brother Peter John, and they were both missionaries there for a while. And then Dominic eventually moved back to Oregon, only this time up north to Portland. And I got to speak at his church a few times over the past couple years. So he's a really good friend of mine, and it's really fun. Like, we've been wanting to tag team, so this is finally our opportunity to do so. So I'm super antsy for it.
Now, how did the Sojourn event come together? Is this just something that you've put together in terms of a presentation, or you just come in and you each do your part separately and just say, God, this is what you want me to do, so I'm doing it?
Yeah, well, actually, the legendary Chip Lesko is responsible for helping make all this happen. So I really feel like he's a visionaire, and he has a really good ability to reach our generation through logistics and strategy and the various and sundry modicums and mediums to really, you know, use our platform powerfully to preach the peace that the Lord puts on our hearts. And so, so really Chip Lesko just set this up, and now we're just walking into it, and he set up the tee. So we're really pumped.
So your book, Optimisfits, and that's spelled OPTIMISFITS. The sub headline title is Igniting a Fierce Rebellion Against Hopelessness. Well, again, tying into everything we've been talking about, people being down and needing to be encouraged, I am intrigued by some of the titles of some of the chapters, like why be well adjusted when you can be savage? Tell us about that chapter.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could just choose any chapter title, and they're all pretty wild. But why be well adjusted when you can be savage is really an encouragement to people who don't fit in. So my encouragement is, if you don't fit in, that's okay, because God has called you to stand out. So the encouragement of the book is to be an optimistic misfit, somebody who's a nonconformist adventurer who lives with wild, abandoned, childlike wonder and unapologetic optimism. And so this abandonment way of living, this absurd, fantastical hope, not just like watered down positive thinking or unicorn shooting rainbows out of their eyes or bouncy castles of fun or, you know, life's raining robustly flavored donuts of fun, and you're just eating Pegasus steak with rainbow sandwiches. I'm talking about something like really substantial. When you live with that kind of wild, crazy, powerful, deep hope, that's very rebellious and not well adjusted in our culture, because CNN just came out with a report that said the suicide rate has increased by 33% since the year 1999. In fact, Jesse Lesko actually texted me about that. And because our culture is so depressed, I want to encourage people not to be well adjusted to our culture, which is just fit in with society, work 40 hours a week, 40 years, retire on 40% of your income, get your 401k, your dog named Spot, your 2-point, you know, your golf cart in Palm Springs, tool around with retirement for a couple years, then claim your spot in the cemetery. But rather, we were meant for so much more than just being well adjusted to the societal systemic oppression. And instead of fitting in, we were meant to be standing out. And that's what it means to be an optimist fit.
Amen. Ben Corson on the phone with us here at ABQ Connect 2.0. He's an author and a speaker and founder of Hope Generation Media, has all kinds of good things to say about hopefulness. And we're going to visit more with Ben when we come back after these messages here on KNKT.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. There is nothing like seeing an old classic car completely restored, except seeing an old classic car that's been kept like new by its owner since the day they bought it. Our lives are like that. Yes, God can restore us, and He does, but He also maintains those who belong to Him. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we will maintain your vehicle and restore your vehicle after those unfortunate breakdowns. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved, and free towing with repairs. Just call for details. We are located in Rio Rancho at 2300 Southern Boulevard, on the corner of Southern Boulevard and Western Hills, across the street from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And for maintaining your life and soul, or if you need to be completely restored to new, Jesus is the master of all, and he is only a breath away. Please call out to him.
I'm Rob Sneed, general manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. For the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Because sarcoma is cancer. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is bringing hope to the families whose lives have been turned upside down by a cancer they had never heard of until diagnosis. Please join us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, go to curesarcoma.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. We are on the phone with somebody who is absolutely savage and not well-adjusted, Ben Corson, joining us. Of course, he'll be in the pulpit this weekend at Calvary of Albuquerque and for the Sojourn event on Sunday from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Ben, again, thanks for being here. You've got a crazy schedule. When do you get to fly into Albuquerque?
So I actually fly out tomorrow and get in at 3-something. And then do the Saturday night service, the 3 Sunday morning ones, and then meet with Chip afterwards, and then go to the Sojourn at night, and then fly back Monday to speak a few times Monday night back in Oregon. So it'll be a fun little adventure.
You absolutely have got a schedule second to none. I wanted to ask you a little bit. I mean, you started our whole conversation today with talking about having faced some depression in your life, and that's when you were pretty young, it sounds like.
Yeah, I would say that the core of my depression really reached its deepest abyss when I was 18 to 28. So ever since I was a senior in high school, I started facing this this profound sense of meaninglessness. And I agreed with Herman Melville, the author of Moby Dick, who said that Ecclesiastes was the truest of all books. And for about 10 years, I just felt like, in the words of the poet, I myself am hell, no one's there. And I just thought, like, I had no purpose. I had a pulse, but no purpose. I had means, but no meaning. I had enough to live by, but nothing to live for. And so when God really rescued me out of that depression, it became my life's mission to then share that with other people.
And how did you finally listen to God?
Yeah, I would say that God really broke through to me and spoke to me and got me out of depression through other people. Like, I believe, you know, we weren't called just for... we were meant for infiltration. If you want to go fast, you should go alone. But if you want to go far, you should go together. The Bible says one can put to flight 1,000, but two can put to flight 10,000. Two are twice as good as one. The Bible says an or two are better than one. It's an Ecclesiastes. And so what I found is, like, God didn't design me for pure solitude. He created me for solidarity. And I used to think I wanted to disappear when all I really wanted is just to be found. So when he showed me, like, the way not to give up is to squad up, to go on adventures with God and squad, and he brought these friends into my life who were crazy and just skateboarded with and showed me that life could be really fun again. It wasn't some complex intervention or them sitting down with me having an 8-hour conversation at Starbucks coffee. It was more just like these people, these friends, they're optimists, and I write about them in the book, showed me how fun and joyful life could be again. And that was one of the things that really brought me out of depression, is these childlike who showed me what a life of worry-free, not careless, but carefree kind of living as a non-anxious presence in the world looked like.
Well, and for the people that don't know you, you were raised in a very strong Christian home. Dad's been a pastor for many years. What was the reaction of your parents when you were going through these difficult times?
I would say they were super empathetic and loving and compassionate. And obviously I do think there's a couple things going on. Number one, like if you look at sort of this succession of generations and the various incendiary trials they had to weather, and you look at World War One, that was like our great great grandparents were fighting in World War One. Then my great grandparents were fighting in World War Two. And then my dad and also grandparents came out of the baby boomer generation. And then, you know, they're fighting in Vietnam. And then here I am, like a millennial, and me and my friends, like, we're playing PlayStation 2 or whatever as high schoolers, and we're like, man, we're depressed. It doesn't make any sense because we didn't go through a Great Depression. Yeah, we went through the recession of the shorting of the housing market in 2008, but we haven't gone through any, like, real national crisis as far as, you know, getting sent off to war or being recruited or enlisted or anything. And so I think that can be kind of confusing for a lot of people. But in fact, I actually dedicated the book partly to my mom because my mom was somebody who reminded me that when I thought depression had buried me, she would tell me I was a seed and that this thing was actually going to grow me into my destiny. And my dad just kept on, you know, planting the scriptures in me, the seed of the scriptures in me, which I'm so thankful for. And that's so huge to help me weather this season of depression that I went through.
Well, I can tell you as a parent of five young people, and they're all doing really great, you know, it's terrifying to see your children just be down and not know why or what to do. And you're praying for them. You're encouraging them. So I know what you're doing this weekend at Sojourn is going to not only lift up a lot of the young people that you're talking to, but it's actually going to bless a lot of the parents. And I'm prayerful that a lot of the things that you share, God will grow in your audience at Sojourn, because young people are being faced with, you know, all kinds of confrontations, intellectual confrontations. They're being told their faith is a myth. They're faced with all kinds of objections to Christianity. And so what you're going to be doing for them this weekend is really invaluable training.
Yeah, and I'm so passionate about reaching this next generation, because right now we're the mope generation. I want to turn it into a hope generation. And, you know, the we can give to God is to love his children and to love those created in his image. And in the same way, I think the best gift I can give to the parents of these kids at Sojourn is to really give kids the gift of hope. Because right now, like, hope is hard to come by. In fact, suicide is one of the top 10 leading causes of death right now. There are more suicides than homicides in America today. Like, we as Americans consume more pills due to anxiety and depression than the rest by three times over. Antidepressants, one study said, are the number one. Another study said number two best-selling prescribed pharmaceutical medication in a nation built on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're, like, stressed, depressed, distressed, and in deep debt. People commit suicide once every 40 seconds around the globe, 123 suicides per day in the USA. So, like, I really, really envision a day where our generation is going to rise up from this moniker of mope generation and become the hope generation, and we're going to ignite a fierce rebellion against hopelessness. And I really see this day, I can envision it, where our generation is going to change and suicide is no longer going to be one of the top 10 leading causes of death. Instead, the Spirit of God is going to fall on all flesh. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. We're going to find anything that isn't heaven on earth, utterly destroy it, throat punch the devil for a living, and enjoy the joy of being enjoyed by God. That's what I want to see in our generation. And that's what I want to do for these Sojourn students this weekend.
I am absolutely fired up to punch the enemy in the throat. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
Hey, we're going to be back with Ben Corson. Keep listening to us here on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Hey, we're already back. Sounds good. Ben, you still with me here?
I'm still with you.
Well, what I'd like to do, we've got a couple of segments left with you, and I'd like to talk to you about maybe a couple other chapters in your book, but I really want to get back to this idea that we were just discussing about you have somebody who is maybe 18 years old, as you were graduating from high school, and they, you know, maybe they have a famous dad. Your dad, frankly, was fairly famous. And I don't know if some of the depression and those things was because you somehow felt you needed to live up to what he was doing, but that wasn't your calling. Tell us how you, I mean, the things that you have, if I just go, I did Google you. I Googled that and I went into your website and I looked at videos and there's so much information and all of it is high energy. I watched you in the pulpit, you know, sharing some of the tragedy. And even though it's very sad and difficult, the things that you faced, I came away with just a hopefulness, and I don't know how you put all that together and you heard from the Lord in order to get the energy to do that.
Yeah, yeah, and I would love to. And are we live right now, or are we just talking off air?
Yes.
Oh, so I didn't know if we were live right now. Okay, that's perfect. Yeah, I think it's so important to remember that, like, the tragedies that we go through, that's something that part and parcel of the human experience is to go through trials, traumas, tribulations, tempests, troubles. This is going to be inevitable for all of us. And I just feel like a lot of people cave in to their suffering. They retreat into themselves. They withdraw into themselves. And they say, I'm just going to implode under all the weight of this tragedy. But what I wanted to say, like, to the best of my ability is, okay, I'm going to make the darkness pay. Like, if the darkness is going to come after me and my family like this, then I'm going to make it my mission to just tick the enemy off. Like, I want to make him so mad. And so that's one of the motivating forces in my life is to realize this isn't a playground. This is a battleground. This isn't a cruise ship. It's a battleship. And so since we're going to war, my heart is that we would endure hardships as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, take up the armor of light, wage a good warfare, fight a good fight, and go hunt some demons. So for me, it's like this thing's a battle, and we've been called to fight for what we don't feel, to be heroic Stoics, to count it all joy, because hope is a journey, joy is a choice, and Buddha DiMaggio, that 95% of the time, our emotions or our feelings decide for us. And research shows that again and again, we will often opt for what feels easy or feels good in the moment rather than doing what we know will benefit us in the long run. And so I just want to encourage people, your emotions shouldn't be your God. Like, no matter what we feel, no matter what we go through, we've been called to be soldiers of light, to be warriors of hope, to choose joy in the face of suffering. And the reality is how we perceive reality will dictate how we receive from reality. And when we see as that which is ordained by God in the sense that the universe is unfolding as it should, and what the enemy means for evil, the Lord actually intends for our benefit, then suddenly, no matter what we go through, it can't take us down because our hope's not dictated by our circumstances. Rather, our circumstances become the things that are dictated by our hope.
And I want to appeal to the young people listening to the show right now. I mean, if you're young, you're 14, 15 years old, and you think you don't have a lot of influence, you absolutely have a ton of influence. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through you to your friends that might be in this hopeless state that Ben is talking about. And so invite some people to come to Calvary of Albuquerque to the Sojourn event, 4:00 to 8:00. It's absolutely free. There'll be food trucks. And even though we're talking about some stuff that's very difficult, and even though we're talking about great challenges, what I hear Ben Corson saying is he likes it to be fun. And he is a high energy guy, as you can see by listening to him.
I love how you said that, because I believe fun is fundamental. And Jesus puts the fun back in funeral, causes the dead to raise, the lame to leap, the blind to see, the mute to speak, the deaf to hear, the lost to get found. And so, like, when you go through a time in your life where people you love pass away, you have a choice. Like, either you believe this thing or you don't. And for me, I have chosen to believe in the reality of everlasting life. And if I genuinely have that conviction, then of course I'm going to have hope no matter what we go through. In fact, Paul said if we don't have hope for resurrection, we above all men are most miserable. But what science is now validating is that most humans believe in an afterlife. So like energy that can't be created nor destroyed scientifically, so too, we come from a God who can't be created. Therefore, it stands to reason that like matter and energy, we will not be destroyed, because Jesus said, whoever believes on him who has sent me has passed from death into life. And so I believe that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords put death to death, so we be scared to death of death. Just Jesus at the place of the skull crushed the skull of the serpent with the crown of thorns on his skull. It really is a message of God's love and good news and everlasting life.
You know, Ben, I'm glad that I never met you earlier when I was working out a lot, because as a workout partner, I can already tell I would have been exhausted after about 10 minutes. You get after it, my friend. Hey, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I wouldn't hear anything worth doing, and that's what the Navy SEALs say. So I figure, like, I just want our generation to be made up of, I keep coming back to this war theme. Like, I want us to be soldiers, like MI5, DEFCON 1, Navy SEAL Team 6, you know, paratroopers, Marine, Recon, Delta Force. Like, I just want us to be a generation that's made up of an elite army of soldiers who fight for hope. Because it's not like life is hard enough, and it's harder on the hopeful. Because when you're hopeful, life puts a target on your back, and people will try to make you get jaded and cynical and critical and see the glass of the universe ever half empty. And so it takes strength and intestinal fortitude and spinal character to like stand erect and say, I'm going to like look my enemy in the face. I'm going to charge the front lines. I'm not going to face my fears. And I don't know. I just want to see our generation rising up as an army, because the Bible has called us to be more than conquerors. So I want us to live up to who we already are. So I get pretty excited about it.
I've got a couple of military friends that do a lot of training in security in Albuquerque, and they always start every training session with this quote. It's attributed to an old Navy SEAL, and it says, in a life or death situation, you will not rise to the occasion. You will fall to the level of your training. And you are really bringing training this weekend to not only the people that are going to be there for Sojourn, and you're going to be training young people how to stand up in the face of opposition, but you're also going to be doing that from the pulpit of Calvary of Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a friend who's in the book Optimisfits. His name's Will Daniels, and he's a professional soccer player in Iceland. And he says, we don't earn our trophies in the championship game. He said, we earn our trophies in practice, and we just pick them up at the game. And his point is that all these victories are earned in training. And so, so this whole weekend, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, is going to be a time of training. It's going to be training ground to empower, equip, enable, and ennoble us to go out into the battlefield with courage.
Outstanding. More with Ben Corson after these messages. Stay with us here on KNKT.
People at Monroe's have been asking me, is your grandpa still washing dishes? And I say no. I promoted him to the parking lot.
Hey, Bill, can I come in for a parking lot?
Not yet, Grandpa. We're still busy inside. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the catering. We cater to weddings, graduations, and at-home parties.
Wait a minute. You're too young to be talking about weddings.
Not my wedding. Anyone's wedding. If you want a no-hassle party where we do the work, call into Monroe's today. We cater to you. Your place or ours.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone. At USPS.com/future.
Here's a wise reminder from Skip Hitek. We are in a war zone, not a fun zone.
The Christian life, far from being a playground, is so often a battleground.
Battleground.
This is a rude awakening for many young believers.
Skip recalls one job description for Satan.
Do you know that the word devil means slanderer? It's really a good title for him. He's the devil. He is the slanderer in chief.
Listen to Skip on the go. Download the Connect with Skip Hitek app on your mobile device. Here's a thought about spiritual warfare.
You are nothing to him. You don't scare him at all. However, the God inside of you does. That's your secret weapon.
Get more teachings from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
You're in a battle, and when the enemy is throwing fiery arrows at you, pull out your sword. And the sword, the Bible says, is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
The Lion King, a remake of this hugely popular 1994 film, is out this summer. The Bible tells an amazing lion story, too, that really happened. As Billy Graham explains, this story involved a faithful follower of God named Daniel.
His conviction, his devotion to God was worth dying for.
You see, Daniel defied a king's order not to pray to anyone other than the king himself.
He dared that he would bow down to no one but God. And so Daniel was thrown to the den of lions. And when Daniel walked into those lions, they were hungry. They hadn't eaten in a while. And they looked at him greedily, hungrily. But God was in that lion's den and closed the mouth of the lions.
What lions are you facing? Jesus Christ will help you deal with them. We can tell you more at this website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, comets pose a very difficult problem for long-age evolution. Many of these comets are short-lived. They last only a few trips around the sun, but yet our solar system is full of comets. Therefore, it can't be very old. Evolutionists have proposed a hypothetical source of comets called the Kuiper Belt. Photographs from the Hubble telescope seem to support the claim. Unfortunately, recent studies of these same photos declare that the Kuiper Belt has not been found. There is no source of comets which would keep our solar system supplied with them. The Bible says that the entire universe was created in creation week, along with everything else. It's not billions of years old, and the evidence that we see supports this. Everything goes back to Genesis, and so it should.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Welcome in. Jim Williams on the phone with Ben Corson. You can get in touch with all the materials Ben Corson is putting out. He is like a manufacturing giant with all of the materials he puts out. It's Ben, BenCorson.com. And I can tell you, at the pace he's describing to us, even this weekend, you're never going to be able to get through all the materials.
Yeah, I mean, I just figure we're gonna take full advantage of the time that we have together. And, you know, I get to come to Albuquerque maybe the once every 2 years. And so when I get to come here, I was just telling a friend a few moments ago that basically I would say Albuquerque, Calvary, New Mexico and Albuquerque is top five favorite places to go. So I feel Calvary Albuquerque is one of the great churches in our country. It's like a spiritual oasis for me out there in the desert. And whenever I hear from you guys, I just get so pumped. So I'm having a lot of enthusiastic feelings. Of course, you might be already thinking about it, and I'm not even joking. Like, I really love it there.
Ben, appreciate you saying that. We'll have to get the Chamber of Commerce here in Albuquerque to get a sound bite of that so people will get motivated to come out here as well. Hey, tell us about the people behind the scenes. You're producing a lot of videos. You're doing a lot of writing. You must have quite a team behind you.
100%. You know, we just got back from shooting over the past 2.5 days, 12 mini movies on our TV show. And we have an amazing radio and podcast editor who also does videography. His name's Jeremy Dittmer. I was just shooting with him a few hours ago. And we have Dylan Bates, who's our full-time videographer, and he does a lot of our internet content as well. A TV director and producer, Jeff Bates. A TV editor, Taylor Bates. Our administrative assistant, John Simpson, and then our speaking coordinator, Deb, and also Andrea, who's helping with some of our TV logistics. Honestly, if it wasn't for this team and my family, like, backing this so much, if it wasn't for this team, none of this would be happening right now. So I'm very, very humbled and grateful.
Well, a lot of this is treading new water and breaking new ground. I mean, you're using media and technology and other all kinds of things that have been used before, but you're putting it all together in a very unique way, high energy, having fun with talking about a very serious subject about depression and how to get out of it, and having incredible hope, as you said earlier, going from the mope to hope generation.
Yeah. It's interesting because the word enthusiasm comes from the origins en, which means in, and theos, which is where we get our word theology, and it means God. So the word enthusiasm literally means in God. And I believe passion, when put into action, offends mediocrity. And so often people will want to take you down and say, you know, they see you at a great height, and they'll try to take you down because your life can be a judgment against theirs if they see they're living in mediocrity and you're living with high-level passion, high-octane enthusiasm. But instead of letting people pull us down, we need to continually reach down to lift them up to the heights of hope. Because, again, I can't emphasize enough, hope is not just a feeling. It's a choice. There have been so many days where I've wanted to give up, where the feelings of optimism or Jesus joy or holy happiness don't seem to be there. But if we make the decision, if we make the choice to embark on the journey of hope and we lift others up with us, then I really believe we can change our generation. So we can't live down to the criticisms of others. We have to rather lift others up to be who God has made them to be all along, and that is a generation of hope dealers.
Ben, I've got a little theory. I've done a lot of coaching, particularly in basketball over the years, and I've had a lot of athletes, when you take them through, you know, a very stressful workout, they'll say the word pain, and then right after that they'll use the word confused. And I always look at them and I say, you know, you're actually understanding pain opposite of what it actually is. Pain is not confusing. It defines exactly what is causing the pain. You know what's, you know, if you're out of shape, it's because you're out of shape. If you can't breathe when you're in a workout and you're 15 years old, means you need to get in shape. So the pain that you feel, I think, can kind of be a motivator and actually a goal toward people can work out of that pain so that it's no longer there.
Well, I love that you're a coach because I played basketball in high school and I led the league in technical fouls. So I actually had a bad temper problem. I would like punch the walls and I was like, I had a John McEnroe temper. The problem is he was just infinitely more talented, but I had his temper. We were the only Christian school in the league too. So that made it even worse. Because it was always public schools, and I led the league in technical fouls representing a Christian school. But anyways, yeah, I mean, I think Paul the Apostle used sports metaphors all the time. Like, there were the Pan Ionian Games in Ephesus, the Isthmian Games in Corinth, the Olympic Games in Athens. Paul talked about running. He talked about mastery and wrestling. He talked about boxing, shadow boxing particularly. So sports were all the rage in Paul's day. And yeah, He treated life like an athlete, like an athlete with an athlete mindset. I mean, he'd go through so much pain, but he said, I reach forward to the prize. And the word reach forward to the prize in Greek, it literally is epiktein ominos, which is used of a runner running hard for the finish, like sprinting at the end of a race to win the crown. And so, yeah, I think we need to take the pain that we feel in life and treat it like an athlete and say, here's the thing I'm going to do with this pain. I'm going to use this pain and realize that this pain is making me mightier. In fact, sweat is just fat leaving the body. Pain is just weakness leaving the body, and sweat is fat crying. And so when you see pain that way, it changes your mindset. In fact, Paul said we glory in tribulation because tribulation produces patience, patience experience hope, and hope never makes us ashamed because of the love of God spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So when an athlete feels pain, like if he's like a Tom Brady or Tiger Woods or a LeBron James, they look at that pain and they say, I'm doing something right. Like if it doesn't hurt, you're not doing it right. And I think when we're going through tribulation, we can glory because it means that we may just be doing something right.
Amen. And I am so excited that you're going to stay with us one more segment. You have been very patient spending this hour with us. I hope you'll stay with us for another 8 or 9 minutes, and our listeners will be very blessed. Ben, appreciate you being here with us. One more segment with Ben Corson after these messages here on KNKT.
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
This was my last gig. If it has happened by now, it's like a miracle.
Miracles happen.
In the new movie Yesterday, a guy named Jack is just about ready to bail on his performing dreams when a mysterious worldwide blackout reshuffles everything. Now when he plays Beatles tunes, everybody thinks he wrote them. This fable-like romantic comedy is sentimentally sweet, endearing, and thoughtful. But there's drinking and sensual issues to navigate here, and enough profane misuse of Jesus' name alone to make many viewers, well, twist and shout. I'll give Yesterday a 2.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things a little differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? Every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Now a Hope Christian School update presented by Dream Style Remodeling. Hope Christian School was established to give students a safe place to receive a college prep education in a Christ-centered environment. Today, Hope Christian School has over 1,300 students enrolled and housed on 20 acres of land. Hope Christian School has a reputation for excellent academics, a competitive sports program, spiritual emphasis, and diversity among staff and students. You can support and expand the vision and mission of Hope Christian School. Go to the giving section at hopechristianschool.org. This update made possible by Dream Style Remodeling.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams with you in studio on the phone with Ben Corson. He's going to be visiting this weekend at Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque. Guest speaker at the Sojourn event, which is 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Sunday here at the Calvary Albuquerque campus. It's a conference for young people preparing for the future and trying to help them avoid the failure of faith when they go off to college. What a noble presentation and purpose that's going to be, because kids are faced with a lot.
Yeah, and I think this is this season of life for a lot of these Sojourn kids, I think one of the things I really want to encourage them in is that faith is not something you live vicariously through your parents. So it's not like video games where you can role play and make your beliefs come out in your life if you're depending on the generation that came before you, what they're telling you to do. This is a message I don't want to be taught so much as I want to be caught. And if they can really embody this faith, it's interesting, the word belief in English comes from Germanic origins, which literally means by life. So what you believe will come out by your life. That's the whole book of James. It's not faith and works, it's faith that works. So I want to give people a genuine, authentic faith that's not so much taught but caught, so they don't vicariously have to live it through their parents, but so that they own their faith in the God of hope, so that when they go into college, they won't get subsumed by despair and cynicism.
Ben, I hear you describing your faith and the hopefulness you have in your life and your Christian walk, very much like I view. We have a skate park right next to our radio station here, and I will watch kids go up the side of this deep area and going really, really fast and fly up in the air and hold their skateboard over their head and then all of a sudden get back on it right before it hits the ground, and they skate fluidly into the bottom and then throw another trick on the other side. You are going for your faith just like they're going for those tricks.
Yeah, that's a really good metaphor, because in the book, I actually talk a lot about how skateboarding has had a profound influence on my life over the past few years, because I love what it represents, like the passion for excellence, but also that quality of that not caring too much if you crash. Like it's this maximum sending. And I think I want to have that same approach to my faith. Like, I don't want to be, you know, a cog in the gears of a system, and skateboarding is always rubbed up against that and rebelled against that. I want to be somebody who's unique and somebody who's passionate and devoted to excellence. And I want all of us to be that way. And so that's what I'm trying my utmost to do. Because it's interesting, the word glory, when we talk about the glory of God, like do things to the glory of God, like those kids are skating to the glory of God, quote unquote. The word glory, literally one of its meanings is excellence. And it also means weight. It was used in the weighing, the market for just weights and scales when you're weighing food that you would buy in the marketplace. So it means excellence. And I believe when we do things with excellence, God puts his weight behind us. So just as those skaters are like doing things excellently, so too, I believe when we approach our faith with excellence and whatever God has called us to do, we put our hand to it with all of our might and don't look back when we set our hand to the plow, then he puts all his weight behind us and he blesses those endeavors and adventures.
Amen. Hey, I've got to ask you before we go, and when they start playing the music, that means they're chasing us off the air. So two quick things.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm fascinated with one of your chapters. It's this title is My Dad is Chuck Norris.
It's so funny because my dad, when he saw that title, he's like, is there something I don't know? And I'm like, no, Dad, it's a metaphor. And basically, when I was a kid, I used to have these kids who would chase me and try to beat me up. But whenever I was in the presence of my dad, I couldn't be afraid because my dad looked exactly like Chuck Norris when I was growing up. Like, he looked exactly like Walker, Texas Ranger. And so I knew that if my dad had my back, no enemy could scare me. And so too, knowing that God is fighting battles on my behalf and answering prayers at my behest, I literally have nothing to be afraid of because the Bible says God is my daddy. And the Bible says he's my Abba. And the Bible says in Isaiah that he lifts islands as though they were a little thing. So Chuck Norris is an iron curler, but my heavenly daddy is an island curler. And because he's fighting for me, my superpowers become trust and dependence. And no one can defeat me. No one can defeat you because of who our heavenly father just so happens to be.
Amen. You're going to be meeting a lot of people this weekend here in Albuquerque. And you have a chapter called The Unedited Me. Who is the unedited Ben Corson?
Yeah, I have parts of my life that people don't see from the platform. And that is I have temper problems and I'm impatient and I get bored very easily with people who, I get upset with people who have kind of a Pharisaic vibe. And I wanted to share this because I believe that when people see our flaws, it's through the cracks and the brokenness that the light can shine through. And so I wanted to share this unedited version because I believe that when we use our weaknesses to empathize with other people, then suddenly they can stand in solidarity with us and realize, me too, I'm not alone, and then we can grow together.
Well, Ben, I don't know if this will encourage you, but I've been involved in basketball as a player in college. I coached in professional basketball and in college. And I used to yell at basketball officials. And let me ask you this question. How many times do you think an official ever changed a call out of the thousands of times I yelled at him? Never.
I'm going to guess zero.
Yeah, zero. And so the funny part about that is, just as you said earlier, that you had some temper problems. I mean, that's something I've dealt with my entire life. And for some reason here, about 5-6 years ago, I was so humbled by certain circumstances in my life that all of a sudden it just went away. You know, I tried to change it for years, but then all of a sudden God just took it away. So now when I coach games, I don't yell at officials. In fact, it's not even in my heart to do it. And I cannot tell you how he did that in my life. I can't tell you.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what happens when we walk with the Lord. We become new creatures in Greek. It literally means new species. You go from an ain't to a saint, from a bepostle to an apostle, from a homo sapien to a hopo sapien. Your whole life changes.
Hey, thanks so much for visiting with us this afternoon. We'll see you this weekend. Ben Corson, Calvary Chapel, 4 services and Sojourn. Come out to the campus this weekend. We'll see you then.
ABQ Connect is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.